And we'll get there in just a second, guys. And so you'll be in John chapter 20. It's where we're going to start here shortly. And I do want to thank everyone for tuning in here as we are continuing to meet virtually, meet online. And it may be a bit of an odd sermon, an odd message here tonight concerning this topic as we reach out to you online. Guys, it's a precarious time that we are in today. We are in a situation of lockdown, and well, I don't know what to expect from the announcement tonight. Neither do you. I think everything that we have mentioned about coming back together or whenever we can physically is really just speculation. And we're praying for the Lord's will and the Lord's hand and trust Him in this matter. But guys, what I want to say to you tonight is whether we're virtually meeting together or whether we are physically meeting together, I believe this topic is appropriate. I think it may even be more appropriate at this current time than it is in what we would say normal time. It's easy for people to get a little bit lax right now in their meeting with one another, their meeting with the house of God. And most of you right now, you're not sat on a pew or sat in a church session. You're sat on a sofa somewhere, a settee, if you will, and you're sat there. Hey, some of you may be in your joggers, your sweatpants. You may be in your pajamas. You're not in your Sunday best. You're not in your church clothes. And I understand that. And the clothes don't make the man or the woman. I get that. It doesn't. I understand that. But there is a difference from meeting in your living room than there is meeting in the local New Testament church. Guys, just keep that in mind. And people say, well, I can meet with God anywhere at any time. You know, I understand that. We can meet with God anywhere at any time. But the Lord Jesus Christ died for the local New Testament church. Amen. And He wanted us to come together. And I understand we are coming together now. But I just want to encourage us, guys, to be steadfast and diligent, to be dedicated and committed to meeting together in the house of God, whether it is online right now out of necessity, let me emphasize, or whether it's physically when we open back up. So I want to bring this thought to you tonight on missed opportunities in the house of God. Missed opportunities in the house of God. In John chapter 20, verses 19 through 24, as we've already read, Brother Preston read, and I'm not going to ask you to stand as we've already done so in the reading of God's Word today. But in verse 19, the Bible says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. He said in verse 20, he says, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his sides. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. And as my Father has sent me, even so I send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, and here's one of the keys, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Father, I pray a special blessing upon tonight's message, dear God, and I ask of you, Lord, as the Holy Scriptures have been read as they were just a second ago, I pray that no one turn off or turn away or close their Bible. Father, I pray that that people would just give the Holy Spirit and the Word of God a chance tonight to speak to their heart, to make a difference in their days. Father, I ask you, please move, Lord, in a mighty way. We love you. We thank you for who and what you are, all that you have done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. So in John chapter 20, in verses 19 through 24, as we've just read, we find an event like no other. And I say that because what we find now is, this is the first appearance of Jesus to His disciples as a group since His resurrection. And beloved, there will never be another first appearance of Jesus Christ. It will not happen again. It cannot be duplicated. It can't be repeated. There is only one of them, beloved. And for that matter, there will never be another first in your life. I mean, once it's gone, it is lost forever. The old saying that first impressions are the most important is quietly true. We understand that the Bible has what we call the law of first mention, that when you find a word or a topic or an event happening for the first time, that its context, once it's mentioned first, usually, most oftenly, defines its continual teaching throughout the Word of God. So as important as this first meeting with the disciples were, as they gathered themselves together, there was one disciple that was missing. Now we know that Judas is dead by now. He hanged himself 3 days before that, on the day Jesus Christ was crucified. So he's obviously not there. Jesus Christ said, "Haven't I chosen 12 of you? One of you is a devil." He's not included. That's him. We know that, the son of perdition. But it's important for us to understand that one of those men by the name of Thomas chose not to assemble himself with the disciples on this first day of the week. His choice was to forsake the assemblies of himself with the other believers. I want you to look at the timeline in your mind here. Jesus Christ was crucified and buried on a Wednesday evening. Jesus Christ arose on a Saturday evening, which is the beginning of Sunday according to the Jewish time clock. In verse 19, the Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week." Now we know that Mary Magdalene had went to the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the first day of the week. She went there on a Sunday. So verse 19 says the first day of the week. That's a Sunday. The disciples assemble themselves together. And no matter what occurs in our life, beloved, can you understand this tonight? That the safest and most precious place to ever be is the house of God assembled with the brethren. And this is the meeting that Thomas forsook. I can remember being in Nebraska when I went to school there, played ball up there, and I remember being in Tornado Alley, and I remember that on the first Saturday at noon every month they tested those tornado sirens, and I remember those tornado sirens going off on non-testing days, and the storms were brewing in, and I remember a group of us guys, us teammates, we were training, we were working out in the gym there on campus, a campus that had been there since 1882, mind you, and I remember us saying, we're hearing those sirens going off, and a couple of folks saying, "Hey guys, you know, should we find somewhere safe?" And one of us chimed up, don't know if it was me or one of the other guys, and they said, "Listen, this place has been here for an awful lot of long time. I don't know if there's a safer place for us to be than in the building that we were currently in." And my friend, that is true for the house of God. In your life, in the spiritual life that we live, in the Christian life that we live, there is no safer place to be than the house of God. And thus we find this first group of parents of Jesus Christ occurring on the first day of the week as they assembled. Now just a little side note. The word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which means a local called out assembly. They're assembling together one with another. And Thomas was not with them. Thomas chose not to assemble with them on this first day of the week. This is the first appearance of Jesus Christ. And Thomas will never get this moment back, my friend. Thomas missed his first opportunity in the house of God. And he would never be able to replace that. Beloved, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has something for everyone every time the doors are open to the house of God. And you say, "Whoa, wait a second, preacher. Doors of the house of God are closed." Yeah, they're closed physically, but they're not closed virtually. We're reaching out to every one of you guys right here, right now. We're doing it 5+ times a week. We're doing this and to bring the Word of God, to bring that church service into your home while we're in this unique situation. This is a unique time. Amen. And I believe every time that online button is switched on, I believe every time that it says that this church service starts at 5:30 or starts at 11 a.m. or 11 a.m. on Wednesday or 6 p.m. on Wednesday or 1 p.m. on Tuesday, I believe every time that happens, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, has something for you in that meeting. Each time we are assembling ourselves together as the believers in Christ Jesus, I believe our Lord has something personally for us. And yet so many believers will miss the opportunities at the house of God because they forsake to assemble. I'm not talking about assembling physically. We can't do that now. But assembling right where you're listening to me and watching me right now. Beloved, you can never get it back. They're lost and it's gone forever because the Lord meant for you to receive it right then and right there. Not next week, not next month, or not even next service. He was meant for you to receive it then. And it's an opportunity lost. Think about that for just a second. Oh, what our nation would be if it was not for missed opportunities in the house of God. Changed lives. Changed marriages. Changed parenthood. Changed directions. I mean, the calling of God's hand upon a person's heart. All because they were in the house of God at the right time and at the right place. There are countless testimonies from men like C.H. Spurgeon and Billy Graham and Howell Harris and Christmas Evans and Daniel Rowlands and all of these men, these great men of God that we lift up and listen to because of one service. Amen. It's my soul. C.H. Spurgeon tucked into a little midweek Bible study in the midst of a snowstorm on the streets of London. That was the only reason he was there. And the guy teaching the Bible study that night was a lay preacher teaching out of the book of Isaiah, who even questioned the fact of whether he was going to go because the snowstorm was so strong. One meeting changed a city, changed my soul, a nation. But there's three things that are evidently seen in our scriptures tonight that Thomas missed out on. He missed out on this day just because he missed out on being in the house of God. The first thing that we find is Thomas missed the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. Look at verse 19. The Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear for the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." My friend, can I tell you this here tonight? That there is no replacement for the outright presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing you can do synthetically. You cannot create a rock show. You cannot create a movie. You cannot create an environment that duplicates the presence of the Lord. My soul. Hey, listen. Hey, people are trying to do it every single week and every single day, trying to duplicate the movement of the Holy Spirit of God and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you cannot do it, my friend. It was the first day of the week. It was Sunday, and the disciples were shut in the house together. And then suddenly appeared Jesus Christ. And beloved, it shook them to the core. Yet they had all heard of the reports of the empty tomb. I mean, beloved, Jesus was real, and He was really standing before them this day. And this presence of the Lord enabled those that were assembled together to experience first God's will. His presence offered proof of His resurrection, which was the first topic of discussion. They were convinced by the familiar Jewish greeting in verse 19 where He said, "Peace be unto you." But not only are they experiencing God's will, but they are seeing His wounds. Look in verse 20 with me. And in verse 20, the Bible says, "And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." The presence of the Lord offered a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection. This was not just a spirit or a vision. This was the very Christ. This was the very Jesus standing there in a resurrected form. And I imagine it moved. He moved from the disciples, each one of them allowed them to see and touch the wounds that was given to Him by the world. 1 John chapter 1 tells us that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Beloved, Thomas missed all of that. He missed it, man. Thomas missed the handling of Jesus Christ in His first appearance. It was belief and faith that had the victory that day in Jesus Christ. His bodily resurrection fortified in His bodily appearance. So, the presence of the Lord enabled the disciples to experience God's will. It enabled them to experience the wounds of Christ. And lastly, we see, it enabled them to hear the words of Christ. The words of Christ. Look there with me if you will. The words of Christ. His presence revealed the fulfillment of His words. All that He had said was now coming to light. Beloved, because of Jesus Christ's presence, the disciples truly knew and understood what He meant when He said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto Me." Coming unto the Father, but by Me. This is how they experienced that, my friend. This is how they could see that. And this is how they knew it. They were seeing firsthand, not by word of mouth or by letter, but by the presence of the Lord Himself. A moment in the life of a believer that can never, ever, 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 ever be duplicated. Christ was there to give unto them His presence in a resurrected form. The opportunity of a lifetime. An opportunity missed in the house of God for Thomas. Secondly, it's already up on the screen, I realize it. Thomas missed the promise of the Lord. The promise of the Lord. In verse 22 and 23, notice what it says. It says, when he had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." My friend, the promise of the Holy Spirit of God and the remission of sins, we find that the next missed opportunity for Thomas is the Lord's second point of discussion, and that is the witnessing, the foundation of the Great Commission. And sure, the Great Commission was given on the day that Christ ascended. Sure, it was given 40 days later. I understand that. But the groundwork was laid in this very first appearance of Jesus Christ. The introductory sermon was offered the first day they assembled together. And it doesn't matter if they assembled together for fear of the Jews. They were assembling together on the first day of the week when Jesus Christ appeared unto them. And He had these things for them. The presence of the Lord and the promise of the Lord. It's just like coming into the midst of a series. After the introduction, sure, man, you can get a blessing from the Word of God, but it sure helps when that introductory series is there. Beloved, in order to be qualified to be commissioned, one must have to be reconciled to God by Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, "All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation." You cannot represent God before the world today unless you have been reconciled by Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, you cannot receive the commission to do so without the promise given by the Lord Jesus Christ. And on this day, Thomas missed it, man. Thomas missed the introduction to the Great Commission that was given later on. Do you know what the word commission means? Literally, it means to anoint. To anoint. There's an anointing that is involved on this particular day. There's an anointing involved being commissioned to witness to the lost and dying of this world. Beloved, commissioned officers derive authority directly from the sovereign power. And as such, they hold a commission charging them with the duties and responsibilities that are specific to the office and or position. Commissioned officers are typically the only persons in a military environment able to exercise a command, according to the most technical definition word, over any other military unit. That's what a commissioned officer does. They receive their authority directly from a sovereign power. They hold that commission, and they're only the ones enabled to exercise the command. Beloved, Jesus Christ was laying the foundation, my friend. He was laying the foundation. He was laying the foundation for what He had spoken earlier on the first day of the week, in the first group appearance in John 16:7, by simply saying, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto me, I mean unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." The depths of what this first meeting entails is absolutely amazing. Again, you'll never get that first impression back. You'll never get that first moment back. You'll never get what it was like that the other ten of those disciples experienced that day by looking on the wounds of Christ, by seeing and touching them with their hand, and knowing exactly who it was. He will never get this moment back, my friend. So we see that Thomas first missed opportunity in the house of God. He missed the presence of the Lord. Beloved, I look back, Brother Preston and I were talking between services today, and just talking about the calling of God to preach, and I'll be just brutally honest with you. When I surrendered to my call to preach the Word of God, I remember it like it was yesterday. And my words were this: "Lord, I surrender to preach the Word of God in whatever capacity that You would call me there into." Point blank. In my heart of hearts, I figured I would be a lay preacher for the rest of my life. I would continue on in the profession that I was pursuing at that time. I figured that's all I would do. I never in my life envisioned. Matter of fact, I remember in a preacher's meeting with our staff there at the church and that I surrendered to preach in, I remember saying in a meeting there that I'm called to be a lay preacher and that's it. I'm never going to pastor. Didn't want to pastor. Couldn't imagine. But I remember the night He called me to preach. I wonder sometimes if I'd have been a little weary that Sunday evening and said I'd rather take a nap on the settee. I wonder sometimes if I've been just a little more distracted, if something else in my life, and they just put something else in front of me, would I miss that opportunity? I got to be honest with you guys. I believe that to be true. Now, before you send a message in saying the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, that's an Israeli verse. Don't give that to me. I'll just leave that one there for you to chew on. I'm telling you, Thomas missed this first impression. He missed that presence of the Lord. We've all heard stories of when the power of God just fell out in a meeting and it got on and people got saved and they got called to preach and real things happened in their life. And those that didn't come that night, they just didn't get it that night. And maybe they got it later on. But the bottom line is this. I promise you that the Lord has something for you every time this word is being preached in this pulpit. Every time a service is made available, be it online or be it live, right here in person, guys, God's got something for you. Thomas missed the presence of the Lord. Thomas missed the promise of the Lord. And lastly, this evening, Thomas missed the peace of the Lord. The peace. Look in verse 21 with me. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Can I say this to you tonight, guys? That there is nothing like the peace of God in our life. There is nothing like the peace of God in a life full of sin and storms and situations that we seemingly can't get away from. We live in a world that brings about disappointments and discouragements and depression and deceit and despair. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ offers us peace. A peace that passeth all understanding. There was a peace this day in the house of God. There was a peace this day as the disciples gathered themselves together and assembled one with another. There is a peace that is within their hearts except for Thomas. Another missed opportunity in the house of God. Imagine how he was feeling. Imagine how he was feeling when the other ones saw him and they begin to share what has happened and the others were being filled with comfort and joy and happiness and excited about what was lying before them in the days and weeks and months and years to come. When they were just overjoyed with this commission of being in the Lord's army, and Thomas was away doing his own thing, still depressed, possibly in despair about what had happened that week and the news, still in fear with the rumor of the empty tomb and looking over his shoulder everywhere he went for fear of the Jews, knowing for sure that at any minute, at any moment, that he would be the next one hanging on a cross. He would be the next one to lose his life, the next one to be scourged. No peace, no promise, no presence because of a missed opportunity in the house of God. My friend, Jesus Christ said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Thomas missed that opportunity of the revealed words of Christ. Jesus Christ said in John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Another missed opportunity as he was dealing with the tribulation of the world and others being comforted in Christ as they assembled together and he standing in fear, seemingly alone. Look in verses 24 and 25 with me in our same text in John 20. The Bible says, But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Do you know what that is a picture of? Poor Thomas, because he chose not to assemble together, refused to believe the promised word of God. He refused to believe the presence of the Lord. He refused to believe the peace that was bestowed upon all the other ones because of his own choices. Where was his faith? Because of the decision and the choice that he made that day, he refused to hear their words. Because of his own personal choices, his own mistakes, he said, "Nope, I ain't going to believe it until I see it. I got to touch it. Whoa, hey, not going to believe it." Where was his faith? Where is the belief in the already spoken words of Christ? Jesus Christ had told them in John 14, verse 3, he says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." There is a peace in Christ's presence. There is a peace and assurance in the resurrection Savior. But on this day, it wasn't for Thomas. There is rejection and refusal and outright rebellion because of the choice he made, not others. The Bible tells us in John chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, says, "Jesus answered and said to them, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.' Then said the Jews, 46 years of the temple was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body, and when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. They only remembered it when Jesus Christ appeared unto them. Stop there for just a second. I want you to stop for just a moment and think. Let this sink deep inside of your hearts and soul tonight. These disciples didn't remember it when they ran to the tomb. They didn't remember it when they assembled themselves together out of fear. They didn't remember it then. Hey, they didn't remember it during those 3 days Jesus was in that grave. They remembered it when he appeared unto them. They remembered it because they were assembled together and they experienced the presence of Christ, the promise of the Lord, and the peace within. All of them did. But Thomas. Thomas had no peace that the others possessed because he was not there when the Lord appeared. He missed an opportunity for the Lord to bless him, to use him, to strengthen him, to comfort him. And every time the house of the Lord is open, he is there for a blessing for you. And you may not see that blessing at that moment. You may not see it in the days or weeks to come. But there's going to come a time in your life that you're going to remember that the Lord is going to use something that was said on that particular service that's going to enable you to have that peace, to rest in that promise because of his presence. Matthew 18 tells us this in verse 20. For there were where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. He's there, beloved. He's there and he's looking to touch his people that are gathered together in his name. And whether that be at this present time in a unique situation that we don't have the opportunity to meet together in the house and in the sanctuary here, and we have to do it virtually. Or when this thing is lifted, we are able to come back and assemble ourselves together in one house. He's there. He is there to make his presence sure. He is there to make his promise spoken, and he's there to ensure his peace is sealed. These are the missed opportunities of God for Thomas, my friend. These are the things that Thomas missed simply because he chose not to be there. Ones that he will never retain again. Ones that he will never have a chance to experience once more. Ones of opportunities that only revealed to themselves at that time, at that particular moment, at that day. Else and it's gone and lost forever in the life of the believer. The opportunities of the Lord many times, guys, are like the lives of his own creatures. Here today, gone tomorrow. Just a vapor. The Spirit of the Lord moves in mysterious ways, and I do understand this, and there are missed opportunities usually occur out of choices of our own life. Choices that will render one of two things, blessings or judgment. One truly never knows what that opportunity that they are going to miss that day in the house of God may render in their lives and the lives of others. One never knows how it will affect them, their family, their neighbors, their co-workers, and the generations to follow. At the beginning of the 20th century, my friend, two young Russian Jews were invited to a noonday service in a little Methodist church in New York City. One of them was named Abraham Silverstein. He accepted the invitation. He heard the gospel. He accepted Christ as Lord and Savior and became a missionary to the Jews. The other young man was later known as Leon Trotsky. He refused to enter the church that day, and he returned to Russia and dedicated his life to atheistic communism. Ultimately, he fell into disfavor with the party, fled from Russia to Mexico, and was murdered there in 1940. All because of one choice. All because of one decision to reject an opportunity to go to the house of God. A blessing or a curse? An opportunity, beloved. An opportunity given in the house of the Lord will never be made able again for that first opportunity, for that first chance. And so in our lives today, as we see in these two Russian Jews, that a missed opportunity resulted in misery and murder, whereas the other one created a missionary. So, beloved, I'm going to ask you this here this evening as we begin to close. the choices that we make in our life right here, right now. I've always taught, for over 20 years now, that you begin preparing for the next church service at the close of this church service. In your heart, in your mind, if you're going to assemble together for Tuesday or Wednesday or next Sunday, you start preparing for that right now, right here. I don't know what the Lord has in store for us at Bible study on Tuesday. I don't know what the Lord has in store for us in Wednesday morning Bible study or Wednesday evening Bible study or even Fellowship Friday. I don't know what the Lord has in store for us next Sunday, but I do know this, that at this very moment my heart begins to prepare for those moments together. And I ask you and challenge you to have as little missed opportunities in the house of God as humanly possible. For Thomas, he missed the presence, the promise, and the peace. And I believe the very same thing for each and every one of us today. So I challenge you, beloved, begin to prepare your hearts and your mind to assemble together, either virtually or physically, when the lockdown is lifted, so that we may see that promise, so that we may experience that presence, so that we may receive that peace of God that passeth all understanding. Will you bow your heads tonight? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. Father, I thank you for the capitalization of this opportunity. I pray that you would take your word and you would write it upon the table of our hearts. And Father, we would write the opportunities that you have given us, both morning and evening, multiple times a week, that we may put them on the calendar of our own heart, written in stone, that we would prepare our ways, Father, to receive the blessings that you already have in store for us. So let us not be named with Thomas in that first meeting of the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather, let us be named amongst those who come together and assemble to receive the blessing and that which the Lord has prepared for us each and every time the house of the Lord is open. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask all of these things. Amen and amen. I hope and pray that the Word of God was a blessing to your heart and to your mind this evening.